You have been saved through grace. You have been saved through grace. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Rabbi Edwin Friedman was a renowned family therapist and leadership consultant. Especially, he's known for his work on systems theory and engaging systems theory when it comes to organizational and family dynamics. His insights and teachings have been applied to understanding and addressing chronic anxiety within individuals, systems, and organizations. One way Friedman's work relates to chronic anxiety is through a concept he develops called emotional triangles. He suggested that individuals often become entangled in emotional triangles. In fact, Procter & Gamble made a lot of money with their soap operas based on emotional triangles. This is where anxiety is spread among three parties. For example, in a family setting, a child's anxiety might manifest as physical symptoms, and then it leads to parents becoming anxious themselves as they deal with this phenomenon. There's an interconnectedness here, and that interconnectedness can actually perpetuate chronic anxiety within the family system. Another example is in our nation. There's a headline that reads, "The Biden-Trump rerun, a nation craving change gets more of the same." It's ironic that we aim for something particular, maybe familiar, even in the midst of dissatisfaction. And yet we become emotionally paralyzed from acting. We'd rather linger in the dysfunction of the past than move into an unimagined future. Now, I'm not getting into partisan politics here. That's not what I am doing. However, it amazes me that newspaper polling signifies that people all over the world have deep dissatisfaction with their political leadership and are yet reticent or even unwilling to either put themselves forward as leaders or make a change. It's sort of a chronic anxiety that shows up in longing for what is familiar, because sometimes even the dysfunction of the familiar is to be chosen over something we can't adjust with. Scripture today addresses chronic anxiety. Now let me just take you back, whether it's the anxiety of Adam and Eve following their expulsion from the Garden of Eden, or the chronic anxiety of Abraham and Sarah as to whether or not they're going to have progeny to continue their line, or today's first lesson, where chronic anxiety shows up with the Hebrew people as they are traveling from bondage in Egypt towards the land of promise. Now, the emotional triangle, remember I talked about emotional triangles there, are the Hebrew people, Moses, and ultimately God. Remember, in the lesson, the Israelites take a deviation from their route out of Egypt. Their bodies are traveling a very difficult road. Did you know, in Scripture, there are at least 15 recorded times in their journey when they're complaining. They're complaining to Moses and Aaron that because of them, they left slavery. for something they don't know about. The people complained and said to Moses at the Red Sea, "Leave us alone so that now we can just serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve as slaves than to die in the wilderness." The people complained about bitter water in the desert where there's no water. They complained consistently about being hungry even though they're fed. They complained about being thirsty. When Moses goes up for a break, anyone who's seen parents in action know that sometimes you need a break from the kids. When Moses goes up for a break to pray, they complain because Moses isn't around and they feel abandoned. Their complaints are a symptom or a manifestation of chronic anxiety. It is uncertainty about the future, and it manifests itself in different ways. Their heart and mind may be in the promised land, but their stomach is in Egypt. And so they revert to familiar behavior, familiar patterns that perpetuate anxiety. Now, if we keenly study scripture and observe human behavior, this is actually quite reflective of who we are. Who can blame them? If we were to face that same danger, same hunger, insecurity, might we not grumble? Might we not complain? When faced with adversity, it is very natural to forget the ultimate destination and to focus on the immediacy of the situation. And in focusing on the immediacy of the situation, we forget the past. We forget what it was like before because we cannot see the future because we are fixated. Yet God challenges us in the desert of life to journey with God in trust. In the first lesson, the Israelites are beckoned to trust God's providence to meet their each and every need in the midst of the scarcity in front of them. You know, snakes in many cultures are a symbol of a fallen creature, right? If you read the book of Genesis, snakes are a fallen creature. They're a cursed creature. The depiction of an elevated snake, you know, similar to the Aeschylus, is to look beyond the immediate situation, so to focus on God's providence. For what's curious here, to speak to people. Here God uses the snake to minister to people. There is a prayer in the Book of Common Prayer that we will pray on Good Friday and the Great Vigil of Easter that reads like this, and I just want to share that prayer with you. God of unchangeable power and eternal light, by the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are brought to their perfection through Christ. This prayer, rooted in the 11th century, speaks and addresses chronic anxiety by resting in the redemptive and restorative power of Christ. That's the essence of Jesus' message to Nicodemus in the gospel today. The only way to deal with chronic anxiety, remember I said deal, because we all face it and we all have to meet it. The only way that we can deal with it or come to terms with it is to focus on eternal life. Eternal life in the Greek here is not about chronology. It's not living forever. It's not like, you know, Walt being frozen in ice and trying to, you know, resurrect his life later. It's not about that. Eternal life is an experience of God's abundance. For if we believe in a God who came to love the world and not condemn it, we believe in a God who draws us into the abundance purpose of meaning. And it is only through that focus on Christ crucified, resurrected, and offering redemption for the whole world that we can deal with the chronic condition of complaints. Complaints are a symptom of chronic anxiety. Remember the Israelites. Remember the human condition. Just make your observations, right? Complaints come from a feeling of being slighted or perceived scarcity. In the midst of that, the invitation of Jesus is to eternal life, to drink from the waters of eternal life, to focus on the fullness of life rather than the scarcity of life. That's where God invites each and every one of us to focus on our destination. Yes, the journey will be hard. There will be injuries. Some will not make it through. And yes, the journey entails taking up the cross, bearing it, knowing at the end the God of life is the one who resurrects. So in the midst of this world, where we seem to be chronically anxious, God relays to each and every one of us that we should have and cast our eyes on the prize. In the moments of doubt and uncertainty, beloved, we are invited to trust in God's presence to help each turn each and every situation, problem that we perceive to be a possibility. Yes, there will be roadblocks and difficulties, but keep your eyes fixed on where the road leads, and we will get there. Beloved, some of you, some of us, are worried about our particular circumstances in life. The particular circumstances in the world, the particular circumstances in our nation. Let me acknowledge, yes, these are unsettling times. However, we have a God who has taken all of this as we pray in morning prayer into the wide embrace of the cross. If we trust in this, we deal with our chronic anxiety, our perceived scarcity, and work towards renewal hand in hand with a living God. And that's where I'd like to remind you of the epistle today. You have been saved. You have been raised up with him and seated with him. And you will sit in the heavenly places so that in the ages to come, Christ Jesus will show us the immeasurable richness of his grace because of his kindness towards us. Therefore, beloved in Christ, do not fear. Rest in God. Rest in his peace.